It's the hour. So we're going to begin. Thanks everybody for being here. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Are there any items not on the agenda folks would like to discuss? State your name and rank and serial number. Maybe take your mask down. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Buffington, volunteer firefighter. Just wanted to say a couple words about the search for our new chief. So I just wrote something up quickly earlier today. I'll give you guys all a copy. But it is important that it is in the board's best interest to hire Brian Nicolai as chief of our fire department.
You should all be- Excuse me, Michael. Can you just speak up a little bit?
Yeah, no microphone.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Board of Trustees. It is in the board's best interest to hire Brian Nicolai as chief of our fire department. You should all be familiar with his professional background and his long history within this organization. So I want to speak about my personal experience working beside him for the past 3 years. Every day I work with Nicolai, whether on a call, during training, or spending time at the station, he shows me how I can be a better firefighter. He leads by example by approaching all of his work with the level of passion and personal ownership that drives him to be a thoughtful and effective decision maker. He fosters a work environment where he encourages all volunteers to develop and grow professionally. Anytime I have questions about the work we do, Nicolai answers with honesty, humility, and with an unbelievable depth of knowledge, not only in fire rescue and EMS operations, but more importantly, with the insight of what our district and its volunteer, or what its residents need. There's no one I would trust more to be our fire chief than Brian Nicolai, and I hope that this board will make the right decision in hiring for this position. Signed, the people I was able to get a hold of earlier today.
I've got a copy for all y'all.
Thank you, Michael. Will you please accept your copy?
Thank you. You just got to sign it too, so. Is autograph it worth something?
Is there a gentleman who would ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I guess I would ask Michael what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that are you recommending the board should not seek competition for this position? Are you saying this should be a hiring just of, I don't even know if we got any candidates or not or anything.
I heard a rumor there's a couple, but I don't think there's a need to look. I mean, you know, you have a fantastic person on your staff right now. You know his experience, and anyone here can speak to his quality of his performance as assistant chief, and it'll all translate to him being chief. You know, I don't think there's any need to search any further.
I see.
And we'll just, for the public, item two on the agenda item is an update on the fire chief search. So we'll have some more information there. Any other board questions for Michael? Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it. Okay, the consent agenda, we're approving two consent agendas. We held over the February one because we didn't have it or something like that, because Jason was in charge of administrative duties, so we know how he does with that. So is there anything any board member would like pulled from the February and March consent agendas? I know, Walt, you just spoke with Cheryl about the station debt on the dashboard that looked a little bit off.
Right, we have to speak with Amy about that. It looks like there needs to be a correction.
Right, so we have an Excel spreadsheet error, it looks like, in the station debt on the dashboard. So any items any board member would like pulled for additional consideration? I have a motion.
So moved.
Two.
Second. Motion to approve consent as presented.
Does that work?
Okay, so second it.
Second.
All right, thank you.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Justin, that was a new record for efficiency. Back to Cheryl.
Jumping point.
Okay, discussion and decision regarding the chief's, the interim chief's compensation.
Do you want to do the March 16th consent agenda? Or did
we
you
did both. Both. We did both in okay. That one motion, yes.
Thanks.
Who's teeing this one up? Is that you, Walt?
Well, just for some background for board discussion. So On July 1st of 2017, the board approved salary adjustments for the various paid positions in the department. And just so that everybody knows, there have not been any changes to salaries since that July 1st, 2017 adjustment to salaries. And the current chief salary is $98,160, and current assistant chief salary is $82,230. And so I guess given that we have not had any changes to salaries since 2017, I guess, and we do have precedent with regard to Brian acting as interim chief when Jason did his tenure with the 911 center, and basically he received the chief's salary for the duration of Jason's tenure with 911. So I guess, I know I'd made some comments at the last meeting with regard to leaving some room for negotiation. And I guess looking at it now, given that we haven't had any changes since July 1st of 2017, I would like to propose for discussion, I'm not making a motion at this juncture yet, but I propose for discussion that we consider providing Brian with the same salary that Jason had been receiving. And once the board goes through the process of selecting a chief, that the board address a compensation package for all of our employees by the time we have a chief in place. And so that's kind of my position on it. So those are the numbers. And
board discussion.
Concur.
Question?
Yes, sir.
The two amounts that you spoke of, is that just base salary amount, or does that include benefits of health and insurance and so forth?
Those are the base salary amounts. And overhead right now, for example, on Jason's, and obviously it'll change just a little bit with the insurance component because Brian's younger. But the overhead associated with the current or with the previous chief was $21,763. That works out to about low 20%. And I looked at the average across, and it for the two assistant chief and chief, it's about 23% roughly overhead on top of base.
More discussion. Any public comment? Is there a motion?
I would move that we compensate Brian Nicolai as the interim chief at the current chief salary, base salary of $98,160.
Is there any public comment on the motion? Second?
Second.
Question, if I could. Would that be from this date or the March?
Actually, yeah, let me amend my motion. I move that we compensate Brian Nicolai as the interim chief effective from the date that he assumed interim chief duties.
Retroactive, I think, is the term.
Retroactive.
Okay, Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, item two, update on the fire chief search. I can't remember when it was, a month ago or so, Cheryl and Walt and I got together here in a publicly noticed meeting just to talk about processes and procedures for the chief search. We discussed a number of items and came up with the following, which you see posted on our website, to do a 30-day search, which started on April 1st and ends essentially May 1st, advertised in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. I can't remember how many times. I think it was every Sunday, something like that.
Every Sunday and three Wednesdays.
Right, and three Wednesdays. So plenty of notice of the opening of the position. We just felt that was a good idea for a couple of reasons. One, we felt that it shouldn't just be a gimme for Brian, and his legitimacy as chief will be enhanced if there's a public search. Obviously, the fact that we've known Brian for a decade plus, we have the same feelings that was expressed in the earlier public comment about him, makes him a highly qualified and desirable candidate. But to Nick's point, it should not just be a passing of the torch without some sort of external review. As we talked about in our little meeting, maybe, you know, Gandhi walks through the door. And it would be irresponsible for this board not to entertain highly competitive people coming before us. So that's where we are. We have solicited through our Survey Monkey instrument that we use to survey the chief the input of the volunteers. Thank you, Michael, for shortcutting that for us. Very helpful. And if we decide to bring other candidates forward, we thought it would make sense to have a representation from the volunteers to join us in that interview process. So that's where we are. I don't know if we've received any applications.
Two.
So we will consider those after the search window closes, essentially. So board questions, comments, discussion?
Two besides our current candidate?
Correct.
Two in addition. Mm-hmm. I guess I would like to concur that with the statements that were made. We've got a very strong candidate, but I also feel the same way that it would be, and I, Nick expressed that we, it's a responsibility of the trustees to consider other applicants. And I think we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't consider the possibility of Gandhi walking through the door. I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to have somebody that has qualifications that are better than our interim chief, but we should look at that possibility. It's within our responsibility to do that.
The only other item that came to mind to bring to the board's attention is, I think, sort of the embarrassing situation that we've been so long without compensation reviews, and we need to get that on a more regular schedule of the board. 2017 is just too long ago. So I don't know how we do that, if we just make that a standing agenda item for the first meeting of every new year. Yeah. And then we can say, well, let's do this next month, but just so we don't forget, because essentially we forgot. Yeah. And that's not a good way to run business. Absent any more board discussion, is there any public comment on this agenda item? Please come up and tell us your name and remove your mask so we can hear you. That'd be great.
Yeah, my name is Will Charlton. I'm a captain from Highlight Fire. I've been with Highlight Fire since 2014. And I guess before I go further, is this an appropriate time to add a vote of confidence for Nikolai? Yeah, so I hear you guys when you say, you know, Gandhi could walk through the door. And I wouldn't be surprised if you do get some other very qualified candidates, but there's a qualification I think is hard to assess for, and that is preserving the culture of this fire department. We're goofy in a few ways. We're a young department. We're predominantly staffed by college students, right? And what they get out of this volunteer their time is enjoying their service, and through that, it's the culture here that they enjoy. And it's not just an enjoyable culture, it's a culture of safety. It's a culture of training really hard. And that culture doesn't manifest out of ether. And it's actually not a culture I think it's fostered by volunteers. I think it's fostered by our leadership. So as we're looking at candidates, I think it's a bit of a dangerous game to mess with that. And I know that Nikolai's fostered that culture for the past 7, 8 years that I've been here now. And I know he can do it into the future. So as you're looking at qualifications, I hope that you also assess not only just institutional knowledge and whatnot, but also the ability to work with the volunteer base that we have here and a standing, wonderful culture that has kept a lot of people around.
Thanks very much. Those who have been paying attention understand, have heard this board talk about the importance of culture many, many times. Mm-hmm. Top of mind for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on this, folks? Chief's report.
Okay. Hopefully everybody got a chance to take a look at the Chief's report. This is my first one, so I figured I should go big. No. There's a lot happening, so I thought you guys should kind of be aware of everything that's going on. On top of kind of the normal stuff, obviously, you know, our roster is pretty much the same. Residents are still here. Number four is kind of a bigger change that, and it's an operational change we're making within the fire department. And kind of just laid out the basics there in item four that, you know, prior to COVID, we were doing sleeper shifts, 5 nights a week up at Cottonwood. And that was, well, it was being done by resident firefighters and non-resident firefighters. But we, you know, this was a conversation Jason and I started back, you know, in February, January sometime. And, you know, as our department has evolved and our resident program has grown, not only to opening this station, but also to purchasing of the Ray House and putting residents there, that we just felt there was a better way that we could utilize our non-resident time. And out of that, we came up with this new staffing model that we will soon implement. We're just kind of hammering details right now with it, but essentially, non-resident firefighters, so not firefighters living at Sourdough, will be required to do 1 6-hour shift on average per week. We average it throughout a quarter just in case somebody's unavailable for a week or on vacation for a month. So we're gonna essentially create a staffing model that will be 2 people on duty Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so during the day. We have a unique department that we can do that utilizing volunteers that they are college students, so they can work around their college schedule, college classes, to do a 6-hour shift during the week. So we feel like that's going to be a lot better utilization of their time. You know, we're staffing pretty well with residents at night where that Cottonwood crew was being used. And really for those non-residents, they currently are, with the success we've had with the resident program, I'm sure the board's aware, and I hope you guys are aware, that our resident program has been amazingly successful. That, you know, since we've implemented these resident programs, that those non-residents really struggle at times to get experience on calls because the residents are out and kind of running on everything. And I'm sure these guys would concur that in order to boost that kind of experience for non-residents, you know, call volume over the years has started to shift to just more daytime calls. That's when the majority of our calls are happening. That if we bring them in for these 6-hour shifts, and this is, you know, we had a department meeting about a week ago now where we kind of, I laid this plan out to everybody, kind of brought everybody's feelings, thoughts into the process, and kind of decided that it's going to be successful. That having them here during the day is going to just give them a lot better opportunity to gain some good experience and be here while those calls are happening. So the big operational shift pre-COVID, we were staffing Cottonwood Sunday night to Thursday night from roughly 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So at this point, we're going to abandon that model and we're going to go to this new shift plan of Monday through Friday with 2 people on from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And again, they will pick a 6-hour from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Throughout the week. And then, so that's guaranteed two people on, but we kind of feel that, you know, currently, on average, we're responding 1 to 2 residents out of here, out of Sourdough and out of Ray, that with those two people on, and I've encouraged those residents to continue the work that they've done, that on average we see it should be easily 3 to 4 people during the week. And then a big part of this shift also was, you know, as we move forward with the ambulance transport plan, is it kind of solidifies and guarantees that we have an ambulance crew on during the day and during the week. So that's one shift. And kind of in addition to that, so at the end of item number 4, I don't want to see us abandon people like Cottonwood. I think that there's a lot of value to that, which kind of is the added piece on. If you look to my proposal for utilizing Cottonwood as a resident facility, similar to what we have done here in the house at Ray. Out of our department meeting we just held a week ago, roughly, we have, you know, incredible interest in our resident program. It's proven to be a good tool to gain experience and knowledge within the fire department. And obviously, it's beneficial for those guys who are guys and gals who are using it to exchange service for discounted living or free living, depending on the location they're at. I'll go forward with how the board feels, you know, necessary. I didn't necessarily know or think that this required board action, but if you guys would like to make this an agenda item and officially approve it, I'm happy to oblige by that also. But what I'm proposing is we open up Cottonwood to 4 resident positions. The station has 4 bedrooms or 4 rooms that we can utilize as bedrooms, so that would be my thought there of picking that 4. You know, the first paragraph is just kind of the history that, you know, what the resident program here and at Ray has gained us. So currently, you know, as the department roster sits, we only, you know, all of our volunteers, depending on where they live, they're assigned a response station. And currently, we only have 1 volunteer that is assigned to Cottonwood, that just utilizing college students like we do, with a few people who live in the district, that we just don't have a lot of volunteers living around Cottonwood. Really, I mean, that creates an environment where we really have 0 response out of Cottonwood Fire Station, unless we are up there doing training on our training night. And really, all the response in that immediate area is coming from, obviously, Sourdough or Ray. So moving 4 people in there, I would much offer it like we do at Sourdough at this facility, being that same rules and regulations would apply that they're living in the fire station, so all the rules that the residents here at Sourdough abide by, they would abide at Cottonwood also. That we would provide free rent, we pay utilities, again, similar to what we're doing here currently. In exchange for that, those 4 residents to live up at Cottonwood would fill 2 nights a week. So we would take the 4, split them into 2 shifts. One shift would cover Monday, Tuesday night. The other shift would cover Wednesday, Thursday night, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Now, if you do the math, Sourdough residents currently rotate 3 shifts. They cover every third week, and they cover 7 p.m. Friday to Monday morning at 7 a.m. If you lay out the shifts that are now with the sourdough residents, with the non-residents doing daytime staffing, and my proposal for the Cottonwood Fire Station is we will have an on-duty crew on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And depending on the time of day, will vary what station that crew comes out of. Now, obviously, making Cottonwood into a resident facility, I'm hoping we'll have the same benefit that Sourdough and the Ray House has also, that just because those guys aren't on their assigned shift that they're required to do in exchange for their free living, that they will still be coming on calls, and that will improve that response station's responses overall. But the fact that we've gotten our non-residents to agree to this daytime staffing schedule, we're utilizing the residents here on the weekends, and I've proposed this program to the guys who are interested in living at Cottonwood, and they are fully on board with this agreement also, that without paying a single firefighter, we'll have staffing 24/7, and that, and I can't express to you guys how big of a deal that would be, that we'll be rolling a truck at the time of dispatch without guys having to drive to the fire station around the clock. Along with that, I put in here there are some improvements I'd like to do at Cottonwood to make it a little more, it's livable obviously now, but a little more appealing. And they're just listed out there at the bottom, items 1 through 5. And as I mentioned kind of at the end, items 1 through 4, I'm comfortable and confident that we can utilize the current budget item for the facilities to make those purchases. And it's the kitchen stove is shot, the covers, or the top, the stovetop's delaminating, and the heating drawer doesn't even go into it anymore. The beds are the original beds that were purchased for that station, which JJ can correct me, or Pete, 2004.
They're old.
Yeah. And then, one thing we offer the residents here is a desk in every bedroom. And, given that they're college students, that would have heard is a pretty big deal that they can have a study spot. So, two of the current rooms don't have closets for clothing storage, so just similar to what these bedrooms here have are two basic armors for clothing storage. The only item number 5 I wanted to bring to the board and really recommend this as an agenda item, that one thing that's pretty important when you have people living at the fire station is offering them some storage for their stuff. Right here we have the old bay, which has really shown its value for that item. All the bikes, the kayaks, snowmobiles, dirt bikes, all that kind of stuff. One, we don't want that littered all over the outside of the fire station for the peel. And two, we don't want it littered all over the inside of the bay because it's just going to clutter the inside of the fire station. So what I would like to do is just look at purchasing an outdoor storage shed that will accommodate the 4 people. And I'll go out, grab some quotes from a couple of different options that we can look at, and then bring it to the board to look at spending that money.
I think a shed or another sea container or something.
I'd figure we could look at both options. Look at the cost of another container, there's a couple different companies now selling the outdoor sheds.
I think if you use the burn building, you'll encourage quick additional attack.
Yeah. That's true.
I would say we ought to pay attention to the aesthetics and keeping our neighbors happy, not dropping another container over there might be a...
That was my thought also another shipping container may not provide very good appeal to the area.
Yeah.
But that's that's my plan and my proposal. Like I said, I figured the, you know, I mentioned in their utility cost, obviously having people could incur some higher utility bills. We already heat the station, and there's air conditioning that we improved last summer. So I don't necessarily see utilities taking a huge jump there. I'm sure we'll see somewhat of an increase, but from what we just went through in our budget line item, I think that that'll still fit in what we have budgeted for that. And really outside of some increased utility costs, there shouldn't be, other than those four or five items that I've listed on, the station's ready to go, so.
Is there internet over there now?
There is, yeah, it's CenturyLink.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be an additional, that's already existing,
that's already
existing service.
That's existing service, yeah. Yeah.
Finished.
That's the Cottonwood staffing program. There's other things in the chief's report. Again, I don't want to talk all night, but three guys are still living at the Ray House. Recruit Academy is moving along. We have six guys and gals beginning Firefighter 2. So they just actually completed half of that testing this weekend with the MSU Fire School. A couple of bigger events, obviously we've run in some grass fires as warm as it's been, and we're not in the green up yet. So within the last month since our last meeting, we've ran three pretty decent ones, two of which have been located in the district, as I mentioned in the report here. And no injuries or mechanical breakdowns at this time. So again, the Cottonwood staffing, if you guys want that as an agenda item, the guys are ready to move in. We're also hitting the end of the semester at MSU. So
guys looking for places.
Guys are losing their online or on-campus housing. We have a couple guys coming up on rental agreements that are they need to either renew or get out of. So that is my chief's report and my ideas.
Board discussion.
I think it's a good idea.
Question for the chief.
What's your idea of the sustainability of another four beds at Cottonwood? I understand you can fill it now, and I suspect it is, but do you have any thoughts on the sustainability of that?
Well, I would say the way Bozeman is going, it's only helping us. The cost of rent just keeps going up. And you know, now that the resident programs have been around in the department for, the station's 6 years old now. I mean, they're hugely beneficial to the department and extremely, extremely sought after. You know, when we opened the station, this station, Sourdough, if you guys remember, you know, Riff and I kind of said, we don't know, like, we'll see how it goes. There might be times there's two guys living here, we might have five, we might have six. And since the doors opened here, it's been eight. And we currently have a wait list, and even the four guys moving into Cottonwood will not actually take, we'll still have a wait list of a couple guys. So as far as sustainability goes, I mean, now that we have this program, it's being utilized well, we can kind of, you know, sell it more in recruiting. That I only see, I mean, MSU is only growing, that the sustainability of the program will only grow too. Now, I can't obviously guarantee that. I can say that at some point we'll have a couple open beds, but historically, to this point, everything's been full since we've offered it.
Thank you, Chief.
More board discussion? Questions for the Chief?
Items 1 through 4, do you have a rough idea if you looked at the cost associated with those four items?
I mean, the stovetop, obviously I'm not looking at purchasing anything fancy, just a basic replacement to what is there. So depending on what that's gonna run, again, depending on the fancy, anywhere from $800 to $1,200 for a new stove. talking to Bobcat Furniture on Huffine in our district, they provided the beds at this station. And again, they're willing to work with us again on purchasing the new beds. The furniture I'd look at buying would not be, you know, anything fancy. It's very similar to what we have here. Again, just particle laminated furniture. So total cost, I don't have the exact numbers because I haven't fully looked at everything.
Yeah, I just think in the future, we don't need exact numbers, just sort of ballpark thinking. And, you know, as Warren Buffett said, price is what you pay, value is what you get.
Yeah.
And I think we can agree, because I was there at creation, that that Cottonwood station was not our best design effort. You know, when we started, we had no air conditioning in those rooms, and it was just tough. And I don't want that to be perceived by our volunteers as a second-rate facility or a stepchild. So, you know, my thinking on this is we don't need to go all out and make it the Ritz-Carlton, but we don't need to cut corners here. We need to make it comfortable places that attract people. That's the whole purpose of, you know, why we built this station the way we did, why we supply the North Barn, because we don't compete on salary, we compete on amenities, right? I recall many a contentious meeting where we tried to explain why we had washers and dryers and big screen TVs, because it's much cheaper than trying to hire a all-paid fire department. So I think Cottonwood has been a little bit neglected. I'd like to see it in a regular, you know, facilities upgrade mindset where you're thinking about that. There's no reason those beds should still be there, for crying out loud. Those should be on a rotation scheme. I know people haven't been staying over there. And, you know, we've talked about, but we've never done it, having a board meeting over there. So maybe in June, because maybe we've got the State of the Union, which would be good for this space. But maybe in June we have a board meeting over there. Can't be new board member. You probably haven't set foot in that station. I haven't been in that station in a long time. That might be a good thing for us to do just so we can get a feel for it. So this board member thinks this all sounds really good. I think you're exactly right. Looking in the rearview mirror, the trends for residential options are just going to increase and be more popular. And, you know, get a good stove, I mean, and replace it every 5 years, right? And microwave. I mean, take a look around there and you know, with an eye to, if we're going to do this, let's do it once and, you know, figure out what the total budget is so we have some idea. If it fits in our current operating budget, that's great. If not, we can have a conversation about it. But shortchanging that station is not a good way to go, because we've shortchanged it for a long time.
Yeah, and along those lines, I'd just like to note that from a cost standpoint, we are a little lower on facilities, but overall our budget's below this point in time for the year. And so it can be absorbed. We'll go a little over on facilities, because I'm sure you're going to end up probably in the 4,000.
Yeah, and that's
roughly somewhere in that neighborhood, and not including the item 5,
right?
For the items 1 through 4, probably somewhere in that. So it's going to kick us over a little bit in facilities, but I think overall it's not going to. We'll still come in under, because you're beating expenses in a lot of other categories. So we'll come in under overall by the end of the fiscal year. So, I mean, I feel comfortable from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, in terms of the shed, are you, what size of shed are you kind of considering to meet those needs?
I haven't necessarily gone to any dealers and looked at what their current options are. And nothing, again, extravagant. You know, I look at, you know, the garage at the Ray House, there's 3 guys living there, so roughly that kind of same. And I don't know the exact measurements, but, you know, 12 by 30, something like that.
Yeah. You know what I might suggest, Brian, is because I don't think any of us have been in that station a long time. If you want to try to get one of us to walk through it with you.
Sure.
And just take a look before we decide on budget items. I mean, like those rooms ought to have blackout curtains so people can sleep during the day if they need to. The TV need to replace. I mean, we like went to Goodwill and got the furniture, as I recall. You know, I mean,
they're good though. You get sucked into those things and they grab.
So let's just go take a look at it with a board member. You know, try to send an email out so you can join you.
Sure.
And just sort of walk through it and see what we think. I think that'd be a good thing to
do. I mean, we have done some, like the, well, donations. Lana donated us a hardly used big TV that's there. And, like, yeah, they have blackout curtains currently. And,
okay.
So, different things.
Right. And I wouldn't want to hold up people who were looking to for living things. So I think the sense of the board is go ahead with the residential program, and if you need to buy beds, buy the beds.
Yeah.
But let's just take a look at it so we take one bite out of the apple for a couple of years rather than doing it, you know, piecemeal. That sounds like a reasonable approach. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you can go on your day, you know, lunch hour or whatever, just run over there and walk through with Brian and give us an eyes on report before the June board meeting, that'd be great.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's important. I think I agree 100% with doing it right. But doing it right, I think, means slowing it down to some extent. And I think when we look at that, I would wonder about bathrooms. Do we need to make some... I walked through it, but I don't remember what's there. So if there's some real...
Remodel.
Ways to improve either bathrooms, coats of paint in the bedrooms. I don't know, but at this point in time, I think it needs to be properly thought out, well thought out. The storage shed ought to be big enough and placed well enough. But it needs to be done in a way that, like you say, let's do it right. And at the same time, let's not rush into it just to get it in and get it done, but let's get it in a way that we can bring before the board, get the money looked at, get the proposal looked at, make a discussion and decision, and it means knock out a wall here or to add something there or whatever, I think, and then there's the business of codes. I don't know if anybody's looked at that, but I think we should be very careful and cognizant about the codes in that building. And I don't know what they are. Do you have sprinklers in the firehouse? So, you know, there's things like that that I think might be, I don't know about, it's a two-story building. I don't know if you have to put in some kind of a post like the firemen have, or do you have to have an elevator?
Actually, outlaw.
These are the times to do that, because I believe this is going to be something that, the growth is going to have to accommodate, and you better plan that maybe you could have more than four.
No, I think that's a good point, Nick. Let's not stop Ryan from filling those slots and getting those people committed. Let's take an eyes on kind of a thing, and we can talk about it in May, then in June, and come up with a more comprehensive fix. Because Nick's, I haven't been in those bathrooms in a long time. He's exactly right. Maybe we throw a new coat of paint in there. Maybe we do a little bit more upgrades if it's going to be a sleeper program. Because it's great for those residents on that side of town. With the staffing model, they're going to be stoked that the lights are on in there more than they are now, right? It's dark, I would imagine.
It's dark. It's been there for, over a year now.
So that's good. Okay, so we'll go a little bit, and then we'll reassess. Sound like we got an understanding of what we're going to do?
Sounds great. One question in terms of logistics. So will it still be the primary training location then, is that correct?
It will, yeah. I mean, obviously.
So will interaction of it being a training facility and eating meals and stuff there, and that interaction with the residents, any issues that need to be resolved there? Or?
Well, so we made adjustments for COVID. We quit packing into the kitchen, and I think that's just overall worked better to not try to pack 25 people at training into the little kitchen and dining area that's there. That utilizing the bays more is more efficient now. I don't see that it's gonna hugely interrupt residents to, store food in there while we're training and, heat it up in the oven if need be. But I don't see, a huge impact. I mean, the residents living here, we do command training and EMS trainings currently at this station, and we can make it work with the residents here. So I don't think there'll be too big of a severe impact for the guys living there.
Everybody can play nicely in the same sandbox.
Exactly.
Any public comment on the chief's report? Any more board discussion? Thank you, Brian. Okay, trustee activities. Nick, this is your last meeting. I'd just like to thank you for your service to our community.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Announcements. Cheryl, is that you?
Yes. The solar panel project, when I put this on here, I had an individual from Bozeman Green Build come, and he was taking pictures. They need to get up on the roof, and I don't think on that day he did that. I have not seen him since, so I have some concerns. The project was to be completed by April 30th, so I have more concerns about that I need to follow up with where they're at on the project. Moving to number two, we sent out the request for proposals for the audit services for next year, or for this year, but for the contract, and we received one back so far, but I have a deadline again in May 1st, so I expect to see more. And the annual meeting per the bylaws would be set for May 18th.
Great, so just on the May meeting, the format we've adopted, which we can certainly change, is a sort of State of the Union. So I make introductory remarks, and then each board member can chime in on whatever they think. So just put a little bit of thought into that. And I would like the June meeting to be over in Cottonwood. I think that's important. We go spend some time there. Any public comment on announcements?
Is it me? Is there a question or is there no comment?
Pardon me?
I have a question or is there no comment?
On
the ambulance. I just haven't heard anything about ambulance purchase or anything like that, where we are on any of that. I'm just curious.
Well, the ambulance was ordered back in January.
January?
I believe so, is when
This thing didn't even really come up, did it, until permission was a lot later.
I mean, from what I could remember, and if any board members can, I mean, Jason brought the bid.
I think we approved that at one of the meetings.
Yeah, we approved the bid.
But I think it was in
January. Yeah, it might have been.
The estimated delivery date is May, so we haven't heard an update necessarily, but that when it was ordered, that was their estimated delivery date was May of this year.
Okay. Anything else? May work for everybody? May date. Okay. Yep. Great. We're adjourned. Thanks.